on. It's my new theme song. Hope you guys like it. I love it. I think I would listen to this. I'd buy this song off iTunes. I don't know. I think it's great. So hopefully you guys enjoy it too. It's 2020. Season 2 of my podcast has started, and we're kicking off things with a bang. The Black Moods are here today. The whole band. I don't know how that happened. I reached out to the front man. I think I've reached out to all three members. I would have anybody on from the Black Moods. But I was really trying to get the front man. And I thought he could come in here and do a couple songs and do an interview. And then the manager said, wrote back and said, hey, we're having the whole band show up. So I was like, sweet. The more the merrier. And it's perfect for when they do the live songs as well. And it was interesting to hear from some of the other members who aren't always at the front of the interviews. So some of the stuff I learned today was really good. Black Moods was a band that I found out about probably 6 or 7 years ago because I was complaining that there's no good rock music and no good rock bands. And somebody told me that, oh, there's a band called the Black Moods, and they're actually local in Phoenix. So I listened to them. The first song, I think, might have been Can't Sleep at Night. Was instantly hooked, and I've been a fan ever since. Seen them in concert more times than I can count. And I think they're a great band. I think you guys will think that as well if you like rock music. If you don't like rock music, then it's probably not your cup of tea. But if you like rock, this is probably one of the better new bands out there right now, I think. And they put on, a great show as well. So, and they got good stories too. They've been around for a while. They've had a lot of interesting things happen. I mean, you think about being a rock band traveling. I mean, there's all sorts of things that can happen. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview and the live songs as well. Okay, I'm here now with the Black Moods in studio. Do you guys want to maybe just each introduce yourself since there's three of you?
Hi, I'm Josh Kennedy with the Black Moods. I play guitar.
And sing too,
and
right?
I sing, yes.
That's part of it, yeah.
This is Chico Diaz, and I play drums for the Black Moods.
So sly. This is Jordan Hoffman, and I play bass for the Black Moods and occasionally sing background vocals.
Oh, backing vocals, nice. Do you do backing vocals, Chico? Or? Okay, so both of you do. Very cool. So, yeah, it's funny. You guys actually, you did a show in Florida with Doc G. Do you remember that podcast, or was it a radio show? It's just funny because I saw that, and it was like you guys and also a comedian, Anthony Davis, who was my first guest. So it's like I feel like things
have come
full circle. Yeah,
that's
And then also you guys know Eddie Eberle, who's also on my show.
Yep.
Yeah. So and then I thought this was interesting too. So I've been trying to get Natalie from Natalie and the Sweet Talkers onto my show. We've been communicating. Are you dating her, or did you date her? Or?
I know her kind of well.
I didn't know that until I started doing my research, and then I found this article, and it was like, his girlfriend, Natalie. I was like, wait, what? I felt really stupid that I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're a good band.
Yeah, no, I definitely, that's why I want to have them on. So Josh, you were actually born and raised in Wheaton, Missouri. Can you tell us about
Wheaton, Missouri? Yeah, it's a small town, like 600 people, you know, lots of churches, no stoplights or stop. There's a couple stop signs.
Right. but your dad was in a band.
Yes.
So that's kind of how you grew up with music.
Yeah, I grew up, my dad and my uncle were in the same band. And then I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Yeah. So, and they played they were like the bigger band, because there's like the four state area was like, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas. And so that's kind of their, and they went and made a record in Nashville. And this is like all through the 80s and the early 90s they played. And then once I got to where I could hold my own playing, he started playing in our band.
Oh, wow.
So he was my drummer up until I moved out here and met Chico.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Okay. That's a new one. Yeah. And then, cause you took piano lessons, but that only lasted a couple of weeks. And then
every Tuesday for 2 weeks, I took piano lessons.
And you had a Scooby-Doo guitar. And
yeah.
Then
mom was my first guitar tech. Yeah. So she would change it got to the point where I'd break the plastic strings on this little guitar. And, we were broke growing up. And so instead of her going out and buying a new plastic guitar, she just started restringing it with fishing line. So she was legit my first guitar tech.
And how old were you when that was going on?
Two.
Two.
I was, yeah.
That's pretty damn young. Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, and then Jordan, you're from Toledo, Ohio. I don't know a lot about your background other than you're from Toledo. So how did you get into music?
Like Josh, my dad played music, played guitar, and, also like Josh, I played in a band with my father. So when I was young and you know, I watched my dad play when I was little, and he taught me some stuff when I got older and started jamming with him and my cousins and stuff. We had like a little band. My brothers were in there too. I had like a family band, and you know,
did you always just play bass, or did you have other instruments?
No, I started playing guitar first. I started doing like guitar chords, and he taught me like G, C, and D, you know what I mean? And then I got a bass. Well, I had a bass first for Christmas, but I was totally not interested in it at all.
Huh.
And then after I learned some chords on guitar, I actually went back and was like, wait, this is kind of cool. And I kind of applied that to bass.
Gotcha.
And I started doing that, and then it kind of clicked in my mind. And then the rest is history. And then right. I fell in love, you know, with music.
So then, and Chico, you're actually the only one that's from Arizona. You're from Tolleson, is that right? You went to Brophy and Brigade High Schools?
Yeah. Yeah, but I grew up in Tolleson, which is far west side.
Part of Phoenix, like west of Phoenix, yeah. But you also lived in Portland?
Yeah, for about 3 years when my son was first born, we moved up to Portland. And I loved it, but I couldn't stand the rain, so I had to come.
Yeah, that's I'm from Seattle, so I know all about that. Have you seen that Portlandia show?
Yeah, I never have.
That show's so great. But so tell me, too, about this. Like, you were actually a former bank manager. So how did you, and you decided, and that's pretty ballsy, just go, I'm a bank manager, I'm going to quit and play in a rock and roll band. Like,
yeah. I used to work in mortgage and finance for many years. And, you know, I had house and cars and a bunch of material stuff I didn't care about because I was miserable. I just wanted to play music the whole time. So just one day I said, no, I'm going to do that.
So you were kind of, you were playing with bands on the side or something, and then you just finally said, I'm
quitting. Yeah, it was just never, it was coming to the point where, because I was still playing with Josh, but it was time to start taking the show on the road, you know,
growing.
I couldn't do that on the weekend.
We'd made a record, we made our first record, and I was like, okay, well, we made an album, we're not going to just sit here in Tempe or Scottsdale and play the same bars, so like, we got to go, and so I was like, we got to make a move, and so he said, all right, let's do it, and
so when were you a guitar tech for the Gin Blossoms then? Was that before or after you?
That was before, because I moved out here.
Right before you met me, right?
Yeah, oh, that was back in Missouri?
No, I actually met Robin Wilson from the Gin Blossoms when he was playing in Missouri with his other band after the Gin Blossoms. And so he told me if I was ever out in Tempe, look him up, you know, because he's got a studio and stuff. And so I wound up coming to school, going to school at the Conservatory of Recording Arts and Sciences. And for my, you got to do an internship, so I went and did my internship with him, and they started playing shows again as the Blossoms, and they took me out.
Okay.
So that was 2000 and I don't know, 4.
But wasn't there, I thought there was a story about how like you saw like a sign that was advertising for the guitar and you recognized his handwriting or something?
No, what happened is in Missouri, I took the guys that I was playing with in the band back there. We all went to see his show in the band, The Gas Giants. And so afterwards I got a set list or I didn't get to meet him, and I was really disappointed in that. And so when we left the venue, I was walking down the sidewalk and I turned to look, and he's standing inside this glass window thing, smoking a cigarette. So I was just like, hey, I just stuck my head in there and I was like, hey, I just had to tell you, I'm a huge fan and the Gin Blossoms mean so much to me. And he kind of like rolled his eyes and, you know, made some comment like, get the hell out of here or whatever.
Really?
And, but
dweeb.
Yeah, you little dweeb.
Yeah, you little dweeb.
No, but he wasn't like that. He's just kind of, you could tell he was just, you know, they were playing this dump club, this dive of a club. And when I opened the door and stuck my hand in to shake his hand, he kind of saw the cute girl that I was with. And so he came out and started talking to us. And then, the singer in the band at the time was like, hey, would you like to get stoned with us? And he was like, I would love to get stoned with you. So we got in our van. We got in our band van at the time, and we were just telling him what we want to do, and he told us to go do everything but be in the music business because it's terrible, you know?
Right.
Which he was right. But but I wound up – but he did say, he's like, if you ever are in Tempe, Arizona, look me up. And so when I wound up going to school out here – everybody, you know, knew that I was a big Gin Blossoms fan. I was kind of trying to find them, and this was before Facebook and all that kind of thing, you know. And so I had went to Long Wong's when it was still on Mill Avenue, and he was playing acoustic set. But he's like, stick around till the end, and I'll give you my studio address. And, well, they ran me out because I wasn't 21.
Oh,
so 10 months go by, and I'm getting ready to move to Nashville to do my internship. And on the literally the last day of school, there was a flyer up at school. It was handwritten, and it said, wanted a conservatory student from Missouri, Smokey Van required. And it had this phone number on it, and that's all. And so, and it said, call Robin Wilson. And I was like, oh my. And I, all the guys at school were like, dude, there's this flyer up. It's got to be for you. Yeah, and I was like, no. Nah. Like
directly for you.
I was like, no way. And so I wound up calling it. Well, first I checked the writing with that of the writing from New Miserable Experience, because he wrote the lyrics handwritten in the album.
Okay.
So I did my forensics file stuff. And I
hit magnifying glass.
Yeah. Don't even get him started.
And, Impossible yeah. music and everything.
And so and I did, and it was him. Whoa. And I called him, and he was like, hey, I was, you know, I've been looking for you. And at first he's like, he'd gotten other calls from other people, yeah. like from Missouri, I guess. And they didn't know it. He's like, so he quizzed me, and he's like, no, he's like, the guy I'm looking for. I said, we got you. I said, you hit on my girlfriend and we got you stoned in our van. And he's like, Josh, I've been looking for you. So yeah. Then That's after awesome. That, I went out with him.
Gotcha. So then you guys formed Black Moons. Was it 2012? Does that sound about right?
That's when the first record came
out.
Record. So,
how did you two meet then? Because obviously Jordan didn't join until later, but.
You can.
Yeah, well, Josh was working at Mayberry.
Which was the Blossom Studio.
Which
was
the Blossom Studio.
Oh, okay, right.
And he had a drummer with him that he was, you know, just playing with at that time, who was my friend. And he was like, yeah, it's not really working out with these guys. You want to audition? So I did, and the audition was terrible.
Awful.
Yeah, it was really bad. Hmm.
Well, even like, I think the other two guys in the band weren't even in town. They had some family thing they had to go handle back in Missouri.
Roddy.
So it was me and another friend of mine that couldn't play guitar or bass that well. So, yeah.
And I just was studying music for like jazz and Latin. So I didn't even have my.
It was like he'd just been reading the books and hadn't actually grabbed the sticks yet.
Because I hadn't played with anybody for years.
Right. Okay.
So
gotcha.
I was so nervous and it was awful. But they had three or four gigs right in a row the very next day. And they're like, well, by default, you won. Let's go.
Yeah. It's like, oh, gosh. I just remember it. Oh,
so
God.
It was rough.
Wait, so tell me this too. Is this true? Or I heard an interview and you were saying that Chico was in a band where he wore a dress. Were you joking or is that a real thing?
No, I did that.
Yeah, they did. They were actually they were a big hit with the Scenesters.
Yeah, we actually did. It was called Victims in Ecstasy, and we did some stuff around town, and you know, won like best new times band.
Chester Bennington was like a huge fan.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah,
I don't get it, but
okay, interesting.
But yeah, we were awful, so we had to wear dresses, and people thought that was cool. So.
There's talks of a reunion show.
Now they all have to wear girdles with their dresses.
And, okay, so this you must have been serious about this too then. So Jordan used to be in a boy band?
What?
I think we might have made that
okay,
one.
Okay, that one was made up. All right. But the dress thing was
there's
real.
There's a lot of jokes. Okay.
Gotcha,
boy band,
gotcha.
Maybe, back in the day when I was, you know what?
So the Black Moons formed and... The name, obviously, if you're a fan, you know that it's a description of Jim Morrison from The Doors. He would sometimes get in these dark episodes called Black Moods. And obviously, so The Doors and influence Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Led Zeppelin, Eric Clapton, Gin Blossoms, as we mentioned, Stone Temple Pilots, Nirvana. Jordan likes Incubus. Is there anybody I missed?
Everybody. We like all.
Captain
Geach,
you know, and the Shrimp Shack Shooters.
When we get sick of all of those people, which never happens, right. We tend to try to find new artists, you know what I mean? Like, or somebody
definitely.
Else that we can like, you know what I mean? So in the studio, we'll put on other rock playlists on Spotify or whatever, have you. And we try to find other artists and bands and that we
especially
dig.
Touring out now, we can, you know, it's kind of like trying to find some bands that we can tour with that are, you know, compatible and...
Yeah, so, and you would describe the sound as modern classic rock or emotionally...
I forget who coined that. I think that's genius.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Or modern, what is it? Emotionally driven 70s rock from 90s kids.
Yeah it's like if the 90s and the 70s, you know, got down together, this is what would be birthed out of that.
In a rock way, sure, okay.
In a bathroom at a club somewhere, I guess.
Yeah. So you obviously, you know, you guys have had a lot of ups and downs with the Black Moods. You said, I don't know if you want to elaborate on this, because I read this in an article. I kind of wanted to know more about this. You said one of your most difficult moments was leaving a business relationship that you had worked really hard to get. But as soon as you started it, you knew right away it was bad for you. Do you remember what that was about? Like a management thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I just don't think they knew what to do with this, because we got in bed with a label like Century Media, which is more of a metal label, you know? Oh. And so like most of their bands are similar, you know, there's like the girl lead singer has lots of makeup, like, and then they play the tracks and it's like,
the industrial rock.
It's like, it's like invisibly, like they can't play without smoke machine. Not that they can't play without smoke machine, but it's just kind of that, the visual aesthetic, and where we're just a three piece rock and roll band.
Right.
That, you know, writes their own songs, don't play the tracks, just, you know, we can play anywhere, you know. And they didn't know how to market that, or, you know, they went through, we were with them for, I don't know how long, a couple years. And all they kept saying to us was, you're not a radio band. You're not a radio band. You're not a radio band.
And then we're like, well, what and are like, we doing here?
Well, then what's the, you know, then what are you guys supposed to be doing then? You know, because it didn't make sense to us. And so once we did get out of that situation, which we thought we wanted that situation. And then when you're in that situation, you're like, how do we get out of this situation?
Right.
So that took a while, you know, because we thought we were playing with the, you know, with the big dogs, and it just, you know, they put you on a back burner or something, and you're not as important, and so.
And you can't make moves without them.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, and then you'd make a, you wouldn't hear back from them, and so you're like, we got to do something. We can't sit on our hands, and then they get pissed because you made this decision when you've sent out 25 emails over the past month trying to get them to reply.
Right.
So, again, we don't hold any grudges. It was just once we got out of that situation, we knew it was just awful. You know, it wasn't good for us.
Yeah.
And here we are, three singles later in the Billboard Top 40.
Yeah.
And I guess we are a radio band.
That's awesome. Very cool. I'm very happy for you guys. It was really exciting to see that growth, because I've been a fan before the radio. And then I was like, I'm seeing like your song on the radio charts. It's really exciting. So obviously lots of ups and downs. Times where you said that times where you have like a lot of money and then times where you have no money.
Life. Yeah, that's it's it is.
It comes and goes, man. It comes and goes.
Yeah. So it's the hard, the thing to keep in mind is like to know it's the roller coaster ride. It's going to have its peaks and valleys. Right. So you're going to, you know, when you're in those valleys, it's hard to remember those peaks, you know?
Right. You can't have one without the other, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you said that you guys would travel in that van, and you slept in the van in the grocery store parking lots, and sometimes you make $200 a gig, and sometimes it's like 10,000.
Yeah, it varies.
It varies. Yeah.
That's how
crazy it depends on like the stage of the show, you know what I mean?
So what's the smallest show that you can remember?
I was almost the first one of the tour in July of last year, right? Remember we played that place in Utah? It was like Salt Lake City.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the backyard.
Yeah, we're like, Kirby's oh, something. My God, what is going on? And it was like a, it was a Sunday in Utah, and it was the first night of the tour or something like that.
Yeah, with them evils.
And it was a,
it was like somebody's backyard with a stage.
But it's like a famous place, like Jimmy World, like, gosh, it was a My Morning Jacket. A bunch of these bands,
have played there.
Through there. But it was like, it looked like an abandoned playground.
It really did. That's so funny the way, like.
Yeah. And the thing was, they didn't
even. Played in the shed with the, the pedophiles.
Yeah. It was crazy. And
BYOB.
Yeah. It was a BYOB. And they didn't tell anybody. So we had fans that came in, you know, not a lot because it's Sunday in Utah. Who wants to go there on a Sunday? Anyway, but no on water, a Sunday.
No,
no water, no beers. And so they're like, so we've got our cooler out, and I was like, hey, you know, here's our beers, I guess.
We prepared, too, because we're going to Utah, so we got alcohol on the other side of the state line.
We've been there before.
Yeah,
because isn't the beer there not real beer? It's like 2%.
Yeah, it's like 2%.
Yeah. And it's like, I think one time we played almost $40 for a 12-pack, and it's like, how does this make any sense at all?
Wow.
So we stocked up, and we should have charged that day.
And you can't have more than one drink in your hand at the same time. I don't think you can order, like, two beers. No. Like you
can't get a beer and a shot.
You can't. Yeah, you have to finish the drink that you have before they give you another one.
I just remember when I was driving through, I went to Outback Steakhouse. I went to the bar, and there's no alcohol in the bar. The bar is, like, in the – or the drinks are in the kitchen. I don't know if they've changed that, but you couldn't, like, see the drinks. She had to go prepare my beer in the kitchen.
That is just insanity.
I didn't understand it.
I don't even know.
People are going to drink if they want to drink.
Yes.
Like, it's what's going to happen. They're going to find ways.
It's even a little strange, yeah. So, anyways, but so that sounds like an interesting show.
It was interesting.
And then, so it was one of the biggest and most awesome shows that you played. You talked about Mexico on your birthday. Was that one of the best, or was there
that was good. Yeah, that was like 6,000, 5,000, something like that, but
Is that Rocky Point, Mexico? Or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's for Roger Klein Circus, Mexico.
Yeah, and it just happens that it won't. It's not this year, but the past couple years, it's my birthday's June 8th, and so it's always on that weekend.
Oh, nice.
And so I always just make the big joke of, hey, thanks for throwing me this birthday party, you know?
Fantastic. Do you guys play that every year?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, we have been. Okay. And I think we're going to do it again this year.
But not January Jam.
Mm-mm. No.
No,
I saw you there last year. You got up on stage. You guys weren't there, but mm-mm. Josh was there.
Yeah. That's when I just...
Just jammed.
I woke up and I was like, I'm going to go to Mexico.
We got back from like a run, like a tour, and like the next day. I actually think it was a few days afterwards because I didn't hear from him. I was like, I wonder what Josh is doing. And like, I didn't get any messages back and forth, like days. And he's like, oh, I'm in Mexico. And I'm like...
What?
And he's like, oh, I left like right when we got back.
Well, we had a couple interns at the studio, and we were just kind of there, and I looked at Dan, I said, you guys ever been to you boys like Mexico? And we went, man.
That's fun. No, I'm going to January Jam this year. It should be a blast. Are you going to go this year? Are you going to make a split decision?
Yeah, we got to go to NAMM. We're going to be in Anaheim.
Oh. Anaheim.
Yeah. That's in Anaheim? Oh, okay, that's cool. I'm going to go to that some year. So obviously, like we said, your songs have been on the radio, but did I hear you say that one of the local rock radio stations won't play your songs?
Well, they have not that they won't. They just haven't yet. It's
they still haven't, even though no, it's national.
They spun it on
New Year's Eve.
The last day of the year at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
which is cool. We made their list of 98 top 98 songs of 2019, and they spun us.
Yeah, so that was cool.
Yeah,
but that was the only time.
Yeah, I mean,
so far.
Yeah, so far. Wow. Hopefully that's the beginning of a new year. You know,
there are other local stations that have been playing the moods.
Yeah, KWSS, which is great to us. And we haven't went to alternative radio yet, which is like 93.3.
Okay.
So. But
does that piss you off though? That it's like because they're kind of a big rock station, and you guys are local. Like,
yeah,
and you guys are doing well.
It's frustrating because you know, Tucson's playing us, Flagstaff's playing us, Vegas is playing us, but not Phoenix. You know, so but hopefully that'll change. You know,
Because three of the songs have charted, so it's not like not like they're obscure underground songs.
If they would play us, it'd probably help us move up in the. We're at 33, I think, this week. So. We need top 20.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, is it based on how many stations play you when they do those charts, or
and the spins that they do?
And how many times? Okay,
it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, it sounds like and then the whole Spotify thing that you guys were just explaining to me before—that's even more of a.
Yeah, I think we got our check for 0.0002 cents in Germany.
Well, one of the cool things that you guys have gotten to do from being in a rock band is like perform with other artists that are really like, obviously you're a big Doors fan, and you actually got to perform with Robbie Krieger and Flagstaff. Was that the first time?
Yeah, that was the first time, I think, was Flag.
Yeah, it was.
And because we just did like a string of dates with them, you know, and for the Doors 50th anniversary.
Mm.
And he actually had his son out with him singing, and he just got, and it was like a blizzard, you know?
I thought they were going to cancel the show.
Yeah, we thought they were going to cancel it, but...
Oh, so it's winter in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was this time of year, like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So they asked me if I could sing a song, and I was like, I guess, you know? And Robbie's the nicest guy, and then...
Oh, that's cool.
And then we got to do it in Marquee Theater in Tempe, Arizona, too. That was nice. Oh, and we did San Diego.
Yeah.
I did three dates with him, I think, singing.
Do you guys have kind of a relationship with him now then? Or?
No, his son, we keep in contact, but, you know, Robbie's so busy and, he's, you know, he's just the most nicest, soft-spokenest guy. It's hard to believe that guy was in a band with Jim Morrison.
But that's how you sometimes have to have that chemistry. Like, only one person can be the wild, crazy man.
Yeah,
so, okay. But he loves your new song, Belladonna, which I also heard Alice Cooper and Gene Simmons also raved about it. How the hell did Gene Simmons get a hold of it?
Well, I played in a side project with Nick Simmons for
a little while.
And we never really did anything. We just go out there and rehearse and
hang out at Gene's
house.
I'm assuming that's
his son or something?
Yeah.
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 They hung out at Gene's house.
Yeah, I stayed there. Like, I could probably still, they let me stay there if I go through town, you know, because they're never there. You know, Kiss has been on the farewell tour for 3 years now. But we just go and hang out. And Gene and I'd go to lunch or whatever it was. But, I sent him a song and he dug it.
That's cool. That's very cool. So, I know you said you kind of skipped the 80s influences. You said it's like kind of 70s and 90s, except yeah, the only one you said was Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, GNR, they're kind of the only ones that came out, you know, not like say unscathed. There's a lot of thin, you know, that's why Nirvana had to come in and just destroy that whole Hairsprayed glam makeup.
Yeah,
bullshit. I love the 80s though. I love the 80s rock music. So I got to ask you about some of the 80s because you've actually performed with some 80s artists, right? I mean, you were on tour with Whitesnake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lot of fun though.
They were great.
Yeah. Cool. So you said that they're super cool. Now, I don't want to spoil the story, but can you tell me about, I know you kind of met David Coverdale first and kind of had a little bit of a relationship with him. And then Josh, can you tell the story about how the first time you met him? Because I thought it was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, because Chico, it was kind of felt like me and Coverdale were the same person. We couldn't be in the room together at the same time, like the Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson thing. But that's how it felt for the first couple of days because Chico met him right off the bat. And they were just like, so every time Chico would see David Coverdale, he's like, hey, Chico, how are you, mate? You know, all this kind of stuff. And so I would, he's like, stand right here because when they come off stage, he's going to walk right by us. So I'm like, okay, all right, this is going to be awesome. And they kicked ass, and it was a great show, tons of thousands of people. And they turn around, and I'm like, and I didn't have my pass on me. Well, this is our first couple days on the tour, so, you know, I don't want to get scolded for not having my pass backstage. So I was like, oh, shit, I got to go get my pass. And so I ran to the dressing room real quick, and when I got there, I realized it was around my neck. And I run back.
And I'm laughing.
And he's laughing because Coverdale came by and talked with him for a little bit. And
he gave me a hug. It was the first time he ever hugged. He's like, Chico, wonderful night. And then as he left, I was like, oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, and then I come back, what did I miss? And he's like, Coverdale. and then the next night, when he was coming off, I made it a point to be right there, and he comes up, and he's like, Chico, how's it going? And he looked at me and he's like, are you in the band too, mate? And I was like, steam just blew out of my ears. I'm like, I'm only the lead singer.
So explain to me how that works, because it's not like you just did a show with him. You guys went on tour with him. Yeah. He never watched you play or listened to your music before.
Yeah.
He just wasn't putting two and two together.
Yeah, I mean, he was just probably just being gentlemanly, you know, it's the way he was. He's such a sweetheart. Yeah.
He said the same thing when I met him too.
Yeah. You in the band too.
And I had the bass with me in my hand.
You must be on stage. Yeah.
What? You must be the keytar player. Right? Yeah.
So how does he sound? I haven't heard him. I've actually never seen them live. How does he sound live now?
Man. Terrific. Man.
Those guys are, they are pros.
Like one of our dressing rooms is right next to theirs, the Hard Rock or something, and they were doing their warm ups.
I saw that video.
Oh, it was incredible. Like their harmonies and everything.
So much power. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they were not like shy at all about like how they're singing or what they're singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause a lot of those older bands now, they use like backing tracks.
Oh, yeah. Not these guys, man. Yeah. Oh,
they're all singing. Every one of them on stage.
But that's the only thing. He just touches it sometimes, but everything else is live.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And then another 80s band that you performed with, Lita Ford. Did you perform with
her? Yeah, that was in Tempe at Marquee Theater. That was a while ago. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Was there a story there? Was anything? Did you get to interact with her at all? Or was it kind of one of those things where
she had two dogs backstage with her? Like little yappy dogs. Chihuahua things or something. It's like, I think they had their own, I think they each had their own dressing room.
Yeah. And their own Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Chihuahuas.
But
interesting.
Yeah, that was just kind of we just jumped on that show in Tempe.
Oh, that sounds fun. Yeah. And then Jane's Addiction. I guess that's technically, are they 80s? I guess it'd be
80s. Yeah, they're 80s. Really cool. They were cool 80s.
Marquee. That was this time 2 years.
Yeah, that was sold out. That was sick. And then we had a 30-minute set, and like second song in, my amp blows, and my backup amp got dropped on the load in, so that one was already broken. So I only had one amp, and it went out. And I just remember turning around, like hugging it and looking at Chico, like, "We're done. This is it. Oh my God! Like we got two songs in, and I'm just sweating." And the crew, luckily, they're so great and on top of it. They went over and grabbed Navarro's amp and wheeled it over, and I plugged right into it, and we were like off and running.
Wow.
And we kicked ass. That's it was cool. Great.
You get to play with Navarro's amp. That's a story itself. Jeez.
Yeah, we get to we've met Steve Perkins
before. Yeah, we knew Steve.
He's the nicest guy.
Yeah.
He's the drummer, right? Yeah. Tell me about the relationship with Roger Klein and the Peacemakers. I mean, you guys are good friends with him? Or?
Yeah, well, I had sent him a song off of our first record called Don't Let Him Get You Down. And I sent it to his drummer, PH, and PH showed it to Roger, and they asked me if I wanted to come down to Circus. That was my first year, and I think that was like 7 years ago. So I went down there first, and the Peacemakers backed me up on that song. And then I got up and did a cover with them. And then the following year, they asked us to open Direct Support, which is huge, you know?
Wow, that is
and
big.
So just since then, they took us on the road with them. And
it's been wonderful.
Yeah, they've been great. They're a major part in where our band is right now as far as fans and everything.
Oh, okay. And then did he like kind of, I mean, it sounds like you kind of mentored Eddie a little bit. Did he kind of help you with some things or?
Yeah. Roger's always good. With some advice, you know, I mean, he's very anti cause they've done it all themselves with that festival and everything. So as far as anything, the mainstream or the big labels, you know, he's over those guys because done it.
Yeah, well, and he probably has a lot of money coming in just from that King of the Hill theme song, right?
I don't know about all that and how that works, but I'm sure, you know, just the fact
that helps,
that spreads the word because everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's a good song. So I'm not sure if you've seen that documentary. It's kind of like a docuseries on Rick Rubin, or if you're familiar with who he is.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's really fascinating how he plays a role with the artist. Like he takes them to this house and he's very like hands off with them. Now you work with the producer, Jim Kaufman, or is he Jimmy K? Is that what
There's Johnny K and Johnny Jim K. Kaufman. Jim Kaufman's who did our first two records and Johnny K just did the one that's getting ready to come out.
Oh, Johnny K. Okay. Yeah. So he's produced some pretty big artists. Like, can you explain like how his role is on, like his influence on the song? Like explain what he does. Cause it sounds like producing music is, it could be like really hands on or really hands off. So
yeah, he's definitely hands on. He's like sleeps at the studio with us, and you know, like we work until we can't work anymore, and then he'll make you work some more. You know,
he doesn't let it pass. If he doesn't like it, he'll get up out of his chair and he'll go out in the live room and be like, "Okay, let's work on this." You know what I mean, he's not like.
Will he change the arrangements? And yeah, does he ever like kind of you give him a songwriting credit? Like, does he do that much?
Yeah,
of
yeah.
It depends on the song always. Yeah. You know, there's songs where he hasn't touched that he likes, and there's songs where he's like.
This
like
could be said, this could be stronger, like, okay, you know, gotta, like,
you know, we should.
And he keeps it very, I hate using the word organic because it seems like they slap that on everything to sell it these days. But very just like the bare bones of the essence of what the band is. So we're not sitting there, you know, layering overdubs and getting away from what the three of us sound like playing together.
No, you know? And that's what I like is that it sounds very, it is, it's like almost stripped down.
It is.
It's
in our studio. Have, yeah. We recorded there because we visited all the nice studios in Phoenix and he's got, and there's some in Nashville that we could have went to and California, but the vibe of our own rehearsal studio thing is just cool. And so he moved his gear into our studio and we made the record in a garage.
Yeah, because like in that Belladonna song, can you explain like how do you get that opening riff? That kind of sound is, it's very 60s-ish, kind of echo-ish. How do you do that?
It's in my fingers, baby. No, it's the
even the delay.
Is that something that he was kind of pushing for? Or?
No, we had it, and because normally in the past we've spent like hours going through guitars and trying different amps and trying this and that. And he came in and I said, "What do you want to use on this?" He said, "Your guitar, what you usually play with live, use that." And so we just did what, you know, what we'd been rehearsing and it worked.
Yeah.
And so that's my everyday tone. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's very cool. So yeah, I got some fun stuff too. That some of the stories that I dug up on you guys. No, this is fun. It's just fun stuff. Like you went to a school and you talked to kids on career day. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
So it's interesting though. Like when you said, "Yeah, we actually play our own instruments," unlike Drake, and then the kids like booed you.
Yeah, probably.
But then you played the song. I think you won them over.
Yeah, they were great. And our thing is, it was career day.
Yeah.
Here it was just Chico and I that day, and we live in with two grown adult men living in a van traveling across the United States. And on career day, the kids, like, there's doctors and firefighters, and the kids are so into what we were doing.
You see the firefighters being like,
you. Yeah, these guys go in and save people's lives, yeah. And we ruin people's lives sometimes. Right. It was just crazy.
No, you bring joy and happiness, entertainment. Absolutely. I think that's cool. So what did you have a message for them? I didn't see it because I think they just showed little clips of it.
Yeah, the message is, you know, do what makes you happy and work hard.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Chico, you worked at a bank, and you could have made a lot of money, but it wasn't what made you happy, so...
Oh, that's very cool. I didn't make a lot of money, and I hated it.
Oh, you didn't make a lot of money?
No, I did.
Oh, you did, yeah.
I did. You know, I was doing great, but I wasn't doing great.
Right, yeah. And then there's a story of when you guys were playing in Austin on a rooftop on 6th Street, and the crowd wasn't really responsive, so you decided to...
Turn the speaker around, and it went off the side, and I thought it crushed somebody down. We all thought we were going to be, like, wrote up on, like, murder charges or something like that.
Because how big was this amp?
It was like a 15-inch speaker, you know, and it was the old style, like the wood casings and like, so it was heavy duty.
Oh, wow.
And I just was just frustrated, and I went over, and I just thought I was going to spin it around on this stand that it was on, and I guess I just I guess I just shoved the thing over, and it went over, and we're like,
was that Southwest?
No, it was
just, a, yeah, it was just a one-off.
Okay,
gig.
I was going to say.
But there were still people walking down.
Yeah, there was still, it was on above the sidewalk, and I just looked at him immediately, and I said, I know all the color went out, and I'm like, and we looked over the side, and that speaker was just dangling. It was still plugged in.
Oh, my God.
How did the wire hold it?
Well, I don't know.
That's crazy.
It was insane. And, I mean, even the guys ran over that were working at the bar, because I think that was the only people there was the staff, and we picked that thing up, but we were just like, we were lucky. I was very lucky that night.
Yeah, geez. Well, that was luck. And then you had some bad luck because I heard about this, that your van actually got broken into in Scottsdale and your laptops were stolen and stuff.
Yeah, we had been gone for months.
Yeah, we were gone for a while on tour, and then we were home for like, no, we were in LA, and then we got home. It was our first night back from tour. And Josh and I played an acoustic set at one of the venues down here in Scottsdale, and which is like our home.
Yeah.
Literally, you know, and we got a little tossed that night. We left the van there. We woke up the next day to go get it. And he's like,
I got back to the studio, and he was at the studio. And when I walked in there, cause our guitars and everything were in there, you know, there's cash in there.
Yeah, like, I left a bunch of cash in there that I didn't even take.
And I got to the studio, and I went to get my backpack, and that's where that's our lives. We keep all our toiletries in that thing, your laptop, our earbuds, they're expensive. And he's like, I said, did you grab the backpacks out? No. You sure? And he goes out there, and we're like, they're gone.
Shit.
So these crackheads just walk by, and I asked the cops when we turned it in, we didn't take anything else. And he said, well, if we saw some crackheads running around at 4 in the morning with guitars, we're more likely to stop them if they're having backpacks or whatever.
So. Yeah. So obviously you probably hopefully you had insurance for that then? Or?
Yeah, we did, but...
Was there anything like songs written on the laptop insurance, or anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's
lots of stuff.
Yeah. Crap. And the thing is, they don't know half of what they got in there, because I had two custom sets of inner monitors that are like $800,000 a piece. But they're custom molded, so they can't wear them anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
That's annoying. And then one...
Violating.
Yeah. I hate that. My house got broken into North Phoenix. That's why I moved to That's why I'm surprised that happened in Scottsdale. I thought Scottsdale was a little more safe.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Crazy. Like, but I guess it could happen anywhere. Yeah. So, then you guys had a management company that put you on a diet where you couldn't have carbs or beer. Yeah. So then you started drinking vodka. So yeah,
it's always a good idea.
Big... Mistake.
Yeah. We, they're just like, cause it's photo shoot things. And like, just stay off the carbs for a month. And we like beer.
10 pounds. And we did.
We did.
Oh.
But we also
fought.
We're always, cause we drink vodka like we were drinking beers. And that just does not ever end well.
Oh, okay. Wow. So now you're back to beer then.
Yeah.
Well, you know. And occasional whiskey.
Well, and speaking of booze, you have your own wine, which coincided with the single Belladonna. So tell me about that. Yeah, how'd you get involved in the wine? That can be pretty lucrative, right? I mean, Sammy Hagar sold his alcohol company for like, $1 billion or something?
$1 billion, yeah. It can be. A friend of ours came up with the idea because she had a friend that had a winery. So we came up with the idea and then ended up going with this winery here in Scottsdale called Suvino. And it's a red blend, Cabernet with a little bit of Merlot. And we like booze.
Yeah.
Never was into wine too much, but now we are.
Yeah, and like the first like month that we had like
cause we drank our inventory.
Yeah. You walk in the studio with purple teeth.
Because we were all so stoked about it. So like we had bottles of wine everywhere. We're giving them to people. And then by the end of the night or weeks or whatever, there was like empty bells or bottles of Belladonna like everywhere still there.
Now we're using them as vases.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So is that working out then? It's like pretty lucrative for you guys or maybe in the future or? It's some of the thing you have to grow.
It's in its infancy.
Yeah. Really.
It was good for like, it's good for gifts, like Thanksgiving, Christmas time last year and this year, it's always good. And then when we release the album in the springtime, we're going to have a Chardonnay or a Pinot Grigio.
Oh, another one.
Yeah,
cool, okay.
White wine.
Yeah,
and where can people get that? Can they get on the website or?
Just go to our website.
Okay. Because I couldn't find it at the grocery store. I'm like, is it a Total Wine at least? Or
no.
Not yet. Just right now, it's just on our website.
Oh, okay.
Right now, it's on the website.
Okay. And then your latest single, What You Got. I almost hear like kind of like an 80s fun party rock vibe. Am I off on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely...
It's definitely party rock for sure. Yeah. It has some of that. Like
it's not to be taken seriously. That's
for
sure.
Yeah, it's like a fun song.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's just something, you know, the peoples can shake their asses to.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, that's a good song. And so are you guys going to... It seems like that's, what, the third single?
Yeah.
And then it's the album coming out late. Because at one point I thought I heard it was coming out in August or the fall or something. And now it's moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, multiple times.
Oh.
It's just timing to get it done. And then
we were on tour like this whole year. Mm-hmm. So it's like it was super hard.
Yeah, because we did that whole record in pieces.
Right, okay.
Two or three songs at a time over 2 years.
So is there a date, tentative date now, though, or just?
There's a month, April.
April, okay, cool.
And what we'll do is we'll see how well What You Got does on the charts, and then we're going to release another single called Sunshine.
Title track off the album.
And that'll be the title track off the album, as well as the name for the new wine.
Cool, I can't wait. Sunshine. That'll be fun. You guys played a breast cancer awareness show a few years ago, and this is a funny story, too. Your bass players, I don't think it was you. I think it was a different bass player. His pants split right before you went on stage. Do you remember that?
Is that Ryan?
And he didn't have anything underneath, and he didn't have anything else.
That was Ryan. Like duct taped his pants.
Yeah.
Duct taped his pants.
Ours.
You had to duct tape them?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Oh, my
Well, gosh. So I always like to end on a charity. So I don't know if breast cancer awareness is the thing that you guys want to talk about, or if there's something else that is on your mind.
My mom, she had to go through all that. And so that was tough. Yeah. Too. Both of our moms did that. And then we also did Alzheimer's awareness thing too. That was June, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We did a whole deal. We did like, you know, merch and donated that kind of thing to it. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, that's awesome. Very cool. And then Josh, one of your goals was to buy your mom a house. Have you been able to accomplish that? Or are you
that
something you're still striving
not
for?
Happened yet.
Not but, yet. Okay.
Working on that.
Right.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, you have upcoming shows January 24th in Scottsdale, Waste of Grain, and then March 7th in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Are those the only two on the...
We actually have a tour.
Another tour.
At the end of this month. We just haven't announced it yet, but we'll be gone for the whole month of February.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Can't wait to look for that. Well, I'll definitely go to the January 24th show.
Cool.
Do you guys want to do some songs then, since you're here?
Yeah, let's
do it. Some instruments? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
You do how you impress your friends. I should be one of them. I should be your friend. I see you checking in, so I'll be stepping out. I want to see your face. I hope it's not too late. I'm starting to shake. I got my eyes on you. Bad news.
like I'm reading your mind. I know just what to say, and I know you will be mine. It's just a matter of time, and I know you will be mine. Starting tonight.
I got my eyes on you. man.
Cool.
Right, one more?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome, guys. Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming on to my little podcast here in my little apartment. But also check out blackmoons.com. You guys are on all social media, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Music, all that stuff, right?
Everywhere.
Anything else you want to promote before you take off? The wine.
Good health and good decisions.
There you go.
Yeah.
I could learn from that too. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming on. Appreciate it. Okay. That was the Black Moods. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. It was, I think it was a lot of fun doing an interview with three people. It was a little bit challenging, but it was a lot of fun. And then hearing them live was just surreal to me, having them here in my townhome. So go to theblackmoons.com, check out all their information for their back catalog, their new singles, and any concert dates they have. If they're not coming to your town, I'd recommend doing a road trip or maybe even an airline trip to see them. They put on a great show. And as for me, I've got my podcast season 2 going now. We have some great guests lined up. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of these episodes. Until then, rock on. We'll see you next week.